Today's daf is Lamed Bet. We're going to start at the last three words of Lamed Aleph Lamed Bet. Amar Rav Yosef. Amar Rav Yosef, Hai Chala Deshichru. We're in the middle of beer, discussing different minhagim they had about beer. Rav Yosef says, Hai Chala Deshichru, vinegar made from beer, de aramai, from non-Jewish beer, asur. De me'arve beidur daya de yei nesach, because they would mix in the yeast from wine from yei nesach. Amrav Ashi ume otsar shari. But if you take it from a storehouse of the non-Jew, it's mutar. What's going to be the difference? Kimbanda ma'arve be misra srei. If you mix in these shmarim from the yeast from the wine, then you're going to end up, over the long term, it will spoil the wine. So they would only do it for the wine. This is like preservatives, right? You wouldn't. If you're going to sell it in the store, then you would mix it in because you know the people are buying it, especially in those days when they didn't store things for the long term. They would buy it and they would drink it and it would be fine. But they wouldn't mix it if they were storing it. So if you buy it from a storage house or you get it from a storage house, it's fine. Okay, that was the end of the beer. I should have just finished that up yesterday, but we were running over time, so I didn't. Now we're going on to this Cheres Hadriani, okay, which was Hadrian had a type of... a system he used in order to be able to drink, take wine with you far distances. I was talking to some people last night who were going traveling in South America, and I said, maybe you could use this as a good tip for your Shabbat wine, because you can, you know, it's very hard to take wine for you for the long term. But if you did this, so what would they do? My Hadriani, we talked about the other day. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Cheres Shel Hadrianus Kesar. Okay, it was the Cheres of... It was the shards that Hadrianus would take with him, the pottery shards. What would he do? Let's hear about it now. Ki ata Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Israel, he told us all about it. Amar, karka betula haita shelo avda adam meolam. There was this land that no one had ever used. They called it a karka betula. Okay, it was pure land that no one had ever touched. Avda vinata, where we've seen all these comparisons between women and land, or working the... Anyway, so no one had ever worked the land. What did he do? Avda v'nata'a, v'rame lechamer begofe chiyure. And then what would he do? So he grew these grapes, and apparently they were amazing. Okay, this lamb was very special, and it grew these amazing grapes. And he would put them in these white jugs, these white earthenware jugs. U'maitse lehu lecham rahu, and then it would soak up all the wine. Umatavru lehu b'chaspe, and then they would break it up into shards. After it sat in the jug for a long time, it absorbed all the wine, so there was no more wine left. They would break it into shards. Vidaru b'hadayhu, and they would take it with them. Right? Yeah, take it with them. B'cholhecha dimatu taru lehu b'shatu, and anywhere they would get to, right? So they were traveling. They would take the shards. They would put them in water, and they would have a glass of wine. Okay, good solution. And particularly because it was such amazing wine. So, you know, by the way, the Romans, right, were known for the great, you know, for growing great grapes and good wines, etc., still are. Amar Bishob and Levi, Virishon Shelanu Kishlishi Shelahen. Our best choicest wine, it shows you kosher wines aren't always the best, right? Nowadays, maybe all that's changed. But their best wine, our best wine, was like the third time they would soak the shards, okay? And they would, you see that they would soak it numerous times. You would soak it one day and get a glass of wine in, but then you would soak it another time. The third, which is already more diluted, was still better than, you know, or was the same as our best wines. Ibai Elihu. Now we have an interesting question about these shards. So we understand these shards are problematic because they're full of yei nesach. So you can't use them for drinking, obviously. But what if you wanted to use them for something else which has nothing to do with the wine? Because it's a pottery shard, right? So let's say you want to use it. Here's an example. Ibai lehu ma'u l'smach behem kirei amita. Okay, we have beds, right? We all have I have chairs like this, which, you know, they're not exactly stable anymore. One side needs, you know, you go to a restaurant, they start putting things under the table to make sure the table isn't rocking. So What if you want to put under your bed frame on one of the sides to, in order to make the bed even, this pottery shard? So what are you doing? You can't get hana'ah from it because it's yenesach. But you're not getting hana'ah of drinking from it. You're getting hana'ah of using the item. So maybe that should be allowed. So here they're going to go through the deliberation. Rotzeh b'kiyumo al yedei davar acher sharei o asur. If you want it for something else, basically for some other need and not for the wine itself, is it mutar? Or is it still called asur because you're getting benefit from something that has yein nesachin? Tashma, let's learn from here. Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan, chad asar v'chad sharei. It's known that there's machloka between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan. One said it was forbidden and one said it was mutar. Okay, so basically, it cuts down to a machloket amoraim. Is this allowed? Is it not? There are these words here that are in parentheses, which say hilchata kamanda asar. The halacha is like the one who's oser. But if you look at the, there's an aleph here in my gemara. I don't know. Sometimes the notation is different, but it sends you to Masorat Hashas, who says that for midivrei harosh b'siman yudzayin. Okay, if you look at the rush on the sugya, muchach de lo garis shalosh tevot elu. Okay, it sounds like he doesn't have this girsa. It doesn't say hilchata kamanda asar, and if you don't, and as it appears, whether it appears in the Gemara or not is very relevant, because if it doesn't appear in the Gemara, then it's not clear who we paskin like. If it does appear in the Gemara, then it's clear. If I believe, I think I glanced at the Shulchan Aruch paskins, he doesn't paskin on it, and then the Shach says, well, based on the Gemara, you know, the Nusach, this Nusach, you know, we forbid. But I think the Shulchan Aruch is not clear cut about it, if I recall. Okay, Meitive. But now we're going to ask on the one, well, we don't know who says what. But the one who's matir, who says it's okay, we're going to say, how could you say that using these is okay? We have a brayta that contradicts. So before we get to the brayta, we're going to get to the brayta that contradicts, but first there's a different case in the brayta which doesn't contradict, and then we're going to then get to the contradiction, we're going to resolve the contradiction, and then we're going to go back to the beginning part of the brayta, which doesn't directly relate. Meitive. Hadrodorin v'haruk ba'ot. Okay, these seem to be vessels that were used for carrying wine. Okay, the rukvaot is like a leather jug. The hadardurim liginim ktanim, Rashi says, it's some sort of small jug. Shelavde kochavim. Okay, so if you use one of these jugs, now before we even continue, I just want to remind you of the Mishnah. Okay, go back to Kaftet Amud Bet, because this is the same case as in our Mishnah. The Mishnah said, there's two dots in the Mishnah about 10 lines down or 9 lines down. It says, Nodot ha'ovdei kochavim b'kankinehem. If you have a leather pouch of ovdei kochavim and their kankanim, okay, their bottles, v'yayin shel Yisrael kanus bahen, asurim v'yisuran yisur hana'ad divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, not only is it forbidden, because what happens? The wine comes out of the sides, right? The flavor of the wine is in the sides of the jug, and then it will come out into your wine, and it'll apostle it, not only for drinking, but also for hana'ah, according to Rabbi Meir. And Chachamim say, Eini surani surana'ah. They're only forbidden for drinking, but not for hana'ah. I looked up the issue of bitul b'shishim. Is it batel or not? So most people say, based on the Gemara further on, we'll see it in Ayin Vav, I believe it is. See it later on, or somewhere later on in the Masechet. It talks about that it's not Batel at all. It's Oser B'mashehu, which would explain this, that there's no Dinei Bitul. We've seen this before. There's some things are Shishim, some things are 100, some things never, like Chametz B'Pesach. So also, this is forbidden no matter what, and that's why this halacha is the way it is, that it's forbidden B'Shtiyah. However, Rabbeinu Tam says no, regular Dinei Bitul apply. Okay, so how it relates to all this sugyo would have to be explained. But he claims that Bitul B'shishim applies also by Yein Nesach, which is a huge heter, and Rabbeinu Tam is known for, I should really read up on it. I remember Jacob Katz has a whole big thing on Rabbeinu Tam and Yein Nesach because of all his relations, you know, the relations in France with all the non-Jews, etc. Anyway, so that's a big deal, whether it's Bitul B'shishim or not. In any case, what do you see? Rabbi Meir says it's usher even b'hana'ah. Chachamim say it's usher only for drinking. And now we're going to see this braita. We'll see the braita holds like Chachamim and not like Rabbi Meir. So the braita says, Hadardurim v'aruk ba'ot shel ovdei kochavim, yayin shel Yisrael kanus behen. Oh, by the way, how can you use it? If you remember, there's a halacha, and if you I remember, my mother used to do this with glasses, kashering glasses, that you can put soak it for 3 days. So that's what you can do to kasher this. I think I saw a note about it somewhere that that's how they would kasher them. If you had a bakbuk of a non-Jew, so you would soak it for 3 days, and then already you can assume everything comes out.
Change the water every day and hope you don't break it in the end.
And right, exactly. I know, that's why I've never done that. Just have different glasses, it's easier. Okay, so what happens? So here you have it, right? It's just like chachamim, forbidden to drink, but you're allowed to benefit from it, right? If you put your wine in there, then you could at least sell it to a non-Jew if you wanted. Now we're getting to the part that's relevant. Right. Well, okay, we have to remember, why were we here? Because we were talking about using a shard that had the wine inside of it, absorbed in this Cheres Hadrianus, and you wanted to use it for your bed. Are you allowed to use it since you're not using it for the wine? Heid Shimon ben Guda lifnei beno shel Rabban Gamliel. Shimon ben Guda testified in front of the son of Rabban Gamliel, al Rabban Gamliel. He testifies in front of Rabban Gamliel's son about something Rabban Gamliel did. Sheshatam imenu ba'ako, that he drank from the wine that was in a jug, that he actually did this ba'ako. Okay, this would have to be a third shita. Okay, sorry, we're not there yet. Why are we bringing this? So I forgot. This isn't yet related. This is a third shita, which says you can actually drink it. There's no issue. Velo hodulo, but they didn't agree with him. Okay, now who didn't agree with him? It really sounds like it was only him and Rabban Gamliel's son. But it's unclear whether Rabban Gamliel's son didn't agree with him, or maybe the rabbis were around, they heard him say it, and they didn't agree with him. Is hodu in plural, or lo hodolo? Maybe he didn't, it was one person singular. We'll get to it later in the Gemara. And now we get to nodot shelov de kochavim. This is the part of the Braita that was relevant. If you have these leather bags of Ovdei Kochavim where they would put their wine in, leather jugs, Rashba Gomer Mishum Rabbi Yeshua Ben Kfusai, Asur La'asot Mehen Shtichin L'chamor. What do you see? You can't use it as a cover or maybe a saddle for the donkey. So what do you see? Even though you're using it for something that has nothing to do with wine, you can't use it because it has the wine in it. So you have this jug that was of Dei Kochavim. You filled it with your water. Now it has, or maybe it wasn't, I'm sorry, you filled it with your wine, or maybe you didn't even fill it with anything, and you want to use it now to cover, right? It sounds like it's not full. You're just going to use it, right? It doesn't have anything in it. You're going to use it to cover your animal. That's forbidden. So now they say, right? So what do you see here? Right? You say it's forbidden. And somebody said it was mutar. How could they say it's mutar against the Braita? Because remember, Emoraim can't go against a Braita. Okay, so now the Gemara throws a question back at this question. Vilita mech, according to what you're saying, kan kanim shel ovdei kochavim litziru lemizban. Maishna nodot, maishna kan kanim. Now this question is based on an assumption that we might not necessarily have known. But apparently, people used to buy kankanim, bottles of non-Jews that they use for their wine, to use for other purposes. So they're going to say, according to this, kankanim should also be forbidden. Maishna nododu, maishna kankanim. According to this, if the whole thing is, if you're buying it for some use, right, you want to use it for something else other than for using wine, you know, for getting the wine out of the, for actually drinking from it or using the wine, but using it for some other purpose, you can't. And here, right, so the assumption is a note is a problem, and also kankanim would be a problem. But why are kankanim not asur? Either there was an assumption because everybody knew that people were doing this, or maybe just the assumption is it specifically said no dote and it didn't say kankanim. So if it doesn't say kankanim, the assumption is it's just the note and not the kankan. So why would you differentiate between the two? So anyway, what do they answer? Amarava gzera shema yibakan nodo. They're going to say this is something very specific to a node, and this doesn't have to do with the halacha we were talking about. We're worried that maybe the guy who's on the donkey has a node with him, his own, which is the kosher one. Biyitlena viyitferena al gabe nodo. In other words, maybe yibakan nodo, maybe his node will get a crack in it. What will he do? Yitlenu is he patches it. What's he going to patch it with? Since he's sitting on his donkey, he's got this cover on his donkey, and his node cracks. What do you say? Let me take the ore from here, right? And let me the leather pouch, and I'll cut it, and I'll somehow patch it up using that one. And then what will happen? Well, then some of it will be, you know, functioning as a node. He'll put his wine in it, and then he'll get the tam. So there, it's a unique halacha by that. It's not the same as kirei amitah. When you put the cheres under the bed, we're not worried you're going to come to drink the wine somehow, that you're going to use it. So that's the difference. So therefore, they brought this as a question, and they say, you don't have to worry about it. Ulamanda amar. Now what do we have to deal with, though? Lamanda amar rotze b'kiyum al yedei davar acher asur. Now we're flipping the question back to the other side. If you say that it's usher to use this, then maishna kankanim disharu, then why are kankanim allowed? If it's forbidden to use it for some other purpose, why is it allowed to buy kankanim and use them for other things? Amar le, hatam leitali isura be'ene. Hacha itali isura be'ene. Now we're going to say that there's a major difference. A jug that you buy from an aqua, a kankan, let's say. You buy a kankan and a pitcher. That pitcher's empty. You don't buy it with anything in it. Now it happens that there's stuff muvla, absorbed into the sides. And when you put your wine in, that stuff's going to come out. But that's not the same as the cheres, which you specifically soaked in wine in order to later take the wine out of there. The clay cheres had a lot of wine in there absorbed for the purposes of using the wine. Now, you might not want the wine, but there's still a lot of wine in there. That's ita be'ene. It's there, and it's mamash there. As opposed to, you don't, the other wine, it's just not noticeable. It looks to you like an empty bottle. So, yeah, maybe there's a little wine absorbed in the sides, but that's not something real. So, therefore, they're going to distinguish kankanim are allowed, but, because you could buy a kankan and use it for something else, just not for drinking from it. I don't know exactly what you'd be using it for. But you can't buy these cheres, hadrianos, because they're really full of wine. Okay, that's the other answer for the other side. Now we're going to get back to this braita, the part about Shimon ben Gouda. So let's just review. Shimon ben Gouda testifies before the son of Rabban Gamliel about Rabban Gamliel that he drank from wine that he put into one of these nodot of akum. And he did it in Akko. Okay, that's not so relevant, but he was just testifying. So he was testifying about the details. And lohodulo. So lohodulo. Uriminu, this contradicts another source. Yain haba berukuvaot shel ovdei kochavim, asur b'shtia umutar b'hana'a. Okay, so here it starts out saying the same type of halacha, that if you have this yain, it's asur b'shtia umutar b'hana'a, just like ours. Then it says, he'id Shimon ben Gouda lefnei b'no shel Rabban Gamliel, Rabban Gamliel, sheshata mimedu ba'ako, that he drank, v'hodulo, and they admitted that, yes, you're right. Okay, this seems the opposite, Girsa. Now, we've seen many times before that sometimes stories got passed down, you know, you could say, oh, yeah, oh, that's they agree with him. Oh, and they didn't agree with him, right? That there was some confusion. But now they're going to try, as the Gemara usually tries to reconcile these and say they actually work together. So, my loho dulo, deka amar hatam, when it says loho dulo, what did that mean? Kol siyato, aval beno modele. One source is referring to Rabban Gamliel's son agreed with him. And the other source is saying, well, the Chachamim didn't agree with him. Okay, so he basically testifies in front of the son, and apparently there were Chachamim around. So the first is in plural, lohodulo. They didn't agree with him. That was the rabbis. But the son, who knew what his father did, oh, he agreed. He said, yes, it's true, my father did that. That's one way of reading it. Ibayit Ema, some people say, guda lechud v'guda lechud. Okay, that one is with an aleph and one is with an ayin. I don't think you paid attention to that, but the first time we read the story, it was Shimon ben Gouda with an aleph. The second time we read it, was Shimon ben Gouda with an ayin. Believe it or not, two people maybe, potentially, according to the Gemara, maybe have the same name but a different spelling.
This has different nekudot, actually.
Gudea. Gudea, it says. Okay.
Gudea. I mean, I don't know whether it matters.
Okay, right. So then, now, even if you say that that's the case, okay, that it was two different people, you still have the issue. They both said the same thing, and in one case they admitted, and the other they didn't. So why? Think about it. The first guy, they said, no way, it's not possible Rabban Gamliel did that. When the second guy came to testify, they already said, now we have two witnesses saying this, it must be true. So the second time they said, oh, you must be right. Okay? Alternatively, you could suggest, I mean, I think that's the best suggestion, likely, but you could also suggest that the first time, sometimes people hear things, they say, that's not possible. But what do you do after you hear someone say that? You go and research, and you start looking and asking around, and maybe by the time the next guy said it, they had already done their research and realized that you must be right, Rav Gamliel actually said that. Okay, Bo wrote Levuvin. What's this? If you remember, back to the Mishnah, if you take skins from an animal, that an Ove Kochavim, right, you bought it off an Ove Kochavim, and it has this hole right by its heart. Tanu Rabbanan, Ezehu or Lavuv, Kol Shekahua Keneged HaLev, right, it's ripped right by the heart, V'kador Kimin Aruba, and it's cut out exactly like a, I assume it's like a circle, right? Is that how they explain it?
A round window-like opening.
Right, a round window. Okay, and Aruba is usually a window, so it's a window-like opening. Yesh alav kort dam, if it has a little blood on it, asur. Ein alav kort dam, if there's no blood in it at all, then it's mutar. Then you can assume that they didn't cut open the animal and take the heart out. Remember, they were taking out the heart to worship to their idols, so you can't use the skin because the skin was used from an animal that they worshiped to their idols. Amar Rav Huna, lo shanu ela shalom malchu, aval malchu asur. So this is only if they didn't salt it. But if they salted it, then it's a, then okay, the blood issue is only if they didn't salt it. But if they salt, what did we say? If you don't see any blood, then it's mutar. But what did we then say? We know that when we salt meat, what does it do? It takes the blood out. So if they salted the skin of the animal, then it's going to be forbidden even if you don't see any blood, because ema malcho havarto. You could say that the salting process took out the blood already, and therefore there's no blood. So then you can assume there was blood, you just didn't see it. Rashba gomer, bizman shakera shalo agol asur, mashuch mutar. If you remember, he comes and says, if it's in a circular shape, it's problematic. If it's elongated, like a rectangle shape, then that's not, they couldn't have taken out the heart that way, it'll be mutar. Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, halacha kirashbag. Okay, the halacha is like Rashbag. So Amar Le Abaye, halacha michlal de pligi. So he says, if you say the halacha is like this, right, then you're implying that they must have argued about it. And he says, right, it doesn't sound like anyone's really argued with him. It says the halacha, and then he points out it has to be in a round shape because that's the way they would do it. Why?
Because when you get back to removing the blood from the skins, whatever they said makes no sense whatsoever. That if you don't see, if it's before it's salted and you don't see any blood, then it's okay, but it's obvious that there's still blood inside, because once you would salt it, the blood would come out and you would see it. But then once you salted it, you can actually see the blood, or you know that the blood had been sucked out, then it's no longer permitted.
I didn't understand.
Neither do I.
So let me explain. I didn't understand what your question is. Because the assumption is, if they cut out the heart, then there would be some blood left on the skin. So if you see blood, then you know it was cut out from, that they cut out the heart. If you happen to buy this piece of skin that happens to have a round hole near the heart, but there's no blood, then you can assume that they didn't cut the heart out, because if they cut the heart out, there would be some blood there. However, if it had been salted before you got hold of the skin, and you get it and you don't see any blood, you can't assume, oh, there was no blood, it wasn't cut, they didn't cut the heart out, because you have to assume there must have been blood and you just don't see it. So therefore, we're going to forbid it, because the assumption is, the blood connection is that if there's blood, then we assume they must have cut out the heart and worshipped it to their gods. Does that make sense? You still have a question?
But it's okay, it doesn't really matter. But then if there isn't blood, then you assume that it was salted and there's no blood. No.
If there's no blood, then we assume that somehow, I guess you must have, maybe they killed the animal and then they took off the skin after. Right? And Alav Kortam Rashi says, Achar hef sheto irabo kach, velo lavoda kochavim. Right? So that's what they're saying. They're saying, if you don't see any blood, then what do you assume? That he took the skin off the animal and then it got a cut in it for some reason. That's what they're saying. Okay? So now, the fact that Rav Yosef paskins halacha kereshba, Gabaye says, if you're going to paskin halacha like him, it sounds like someone's arguing about him. So, and it didn't seem like anyone was arguing with him. So, Amar Leh, mai nafka lachmina. So he says, what's the difference? In other words, Gabaye is saying, we must assume from here that the fact that he paskin like this must mean that the fact that you're paskining halacha kereshba must mean that others disagree. So Rav Yosef says to him, "My naftalach mina, what do you care whether they agree with, whether the rabbis agree with him or disagree with him? We paskin like him, so what do you, what does it matter?" Says, who cares? If we say we paskin like someone, what's the difference whether other people argue with him or everyone agree with him? So Amar Lei, Gemara, Gemara, Zamarta, Tehe. Okay, we've seen this term before. It means if it's something that somebody learned, it's like a zimra to say it. In other words, I like to sing the song of Torah. I like to explain everything there is. I like to know everything there is, even if we don't paskin that way. I like to learn it. I like to see it. I like to know. So that's what that term. Okay. Basar ha-nechnas lo'ovdei kochavim mutar. Now we're getting to meat that's going into a house of worship. Right? If it's on its way in, then we assume it hasn't yet been used. Let's say it's on its way in, and then you buy it as it's on its way in before it gets, you know, before it goes inside. We can assume it wasn't worshipped. But if it's coming out of the house of Ovdei Kochavim, then we can assume that they must have used that meat to offer up to their gods, and therefore you can't buy it. Mantana, Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, again, it would be, I mean, obviously their meat you're not eating, but if you wanted to use it for something. Mantana, who's the Tana of this Braita, of the our Mishnah who says this? Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Dilo ki Rabbi Elazar. It's not like Rabbi Elazar. De'i ki Rabbi Elazar ha'amar stam machshevet ovei kochavim lavoda kochavim. He had a shita, Rabbi Elazar, that the stam that is here, it says here it should be Rabbi Eliezer, which makes more sense, who's the Tana, who he said, right, Rabbi Elazar is the Amora. He says that a stam, although there is also Rabbi Elazar the Tana, but I assume they mean this is Rabbi Eliezer, stam machshevet avodah kochavim, if you can assume it was for the purposes of avodah kochavim, and therefore it was already kind of sanctified for idol worship, and you can't use it according to him. Hayotze asur mipnei shu kizivchei metim. If it's coming out of the house of idol worship, then you have to assume it's like zivchei metim. My time, huh? What's the reason? Right? The assumption is it's not possible that this animal went into the house of worship and wasn't used. Mane, who is this? Who does this go according to? Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteirahi. Detanya, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira Omer, minayin l'tikrovet avodah kochavim shemetame ba'ohel. How do you know? If you remember, we saw Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira 2 days ago, or yesterday we saw, he said basically anything that was used for idol worship is metame, like a maid be'ohel. So here you say, right, Shneamar, v'yitzamdu l'baal pa'or v'yachlu zivchei metim, the pasuk in Tehillim, which connected between the people who worship the Baal Pa'or, and then it says, v'yachlu zivchei metim, ma met mitame ba'ol, aftikrovet avodah kochavim, mitama ba'ol. So therefore they say that our Mishnah that says that it must have been worshipped to Avodah Zarah holds like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira, who says anything worshipped to Avodah Zarah is mitame ba'ol. Ha'ochim l'trafot asurin, Asurin l'sepe l'teti mehen. Now we get to people who are on their way into a house of idol worship. If you remember, what does it say? It's forbidden to do business with them. Amar Shmuel, what's the reason? Remember why? Because he'll go to his gods and he'll thank them. If you do a big business deal right before you go into your house of worship, what are you going to do? You're going to thank your gods. Oh, thank you so much. So you're going to be causing people to thank idols. Amar Shmuel, Ovei kochavim ha'olech l'trafot, Bahalicha asur, if he's on his way, it's asur. Da'azilumode kame avodah kochavim, because he's going to now go thank his idols. Bechazara mutar, but on the way back, it's mutar, because my dahava hava. He already prayed to his gods. He's not going back there again. If he has a good business deal when he walks out, he's not going to go right back and thank his gods. He's already done. But Yisrael ha'olech l'trafot, here's a very interesting halacha. A Yisrael who's going on in a house of idol worship, okay, a Jew, who decides to worship idols, and he's on his way into the idol worship place. Bahalicha mutar. If he's on his way in, it's allowed. Why is that? Dilma hadar bay velo azil. Maybe he'll change his mind, right? We have the optimistic outlook on the Jew. The Jew who's basically looking like he's on his way out. Well, if he's on his way there, we can just say, hey, you know, maybe he'll change his mind. So you're allowed to do business with him. Maybe, especially if you did business with him, maybe there's this concept. He'll feel good about having done business with a Jew, and maybe he won't go into the house of idol worship. Bachazara asur, but it's the reverse now. When he leaves, it's forbidden. Why? Ki gonde avig be mahadar hadar azil. Okay, since you did business with him, What's going to happen? He walks out of the house of idol worship. He's just finished praying to the idols. And he walks out and boom, great business deal. He says, wow. See what happens when I worship idols? Okay, very interesting. Now that we're going to have a question, I'm going to go a little bit further today, just a little. V'hatanya Yisrael ha'olech l'trafot bein b'halicha bein b'chazara asur. But wait, isn't there another source that says if a Jew's on his way into outside idol worship, you can't do business with him on the way in because he'll go thank the idol, and you can't do business on the way out because he'll say, oh, look, the idol did it for me. So Amar Rav Ashi, Kitanya hi b'Yisrael mumar devadai azil. Now we're going to distinguish between different types of Jews. There's Jews on their way out who, you know, are thinking about idol worship, and they're the ones who we're hoping will still, you know, maybe will change their mind. And then we have ones that have already thrown the entire thing away, and they're clearly out, legamre. If that kind of Jew is walking in, well, then they're treated like a non-Jew, and you have to be concerned that they're going to go thank the idols, and therefore you can't sell them either way. Okay, that's it for today.